no matter what size of church you are, you need volunteers. It's not like, you know, oh, I need volunteers once I reach this size. It needs to be part of your culture right now, where they have a church of 50, you have a church of 75, or you have a church of 2,000.
This is the Church Growth Nation Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Ross Turner with the Vibrant Agency, along with Chris Thompson of Church Boom. Hey, we're watching the second half of our talk with Jason Hanash. This one's a good one. He's talking about serving culture, volunteering culture, making a big deal about volunteering in your church. Hey, if you want to continue the conversation, go to churchgrowthnation.com or join our Facebook group. Pastors are talking about this, giving tips to each other. We want you to be included in our community. Hope you enjoy this episode. I want to talk a little bit about how you guys have tapped into volunteers and getting people like tapped into going deeper as far as serving at the church. We've actually done ads for people to join the serve team. Skip the step of just come to the church. We want you to come to the church because we have gaps to fill. We need sound guys. We need lighting people. And, you know, that's one of the ways that maybe they are a seasoned believer, but they felt like they don't have a church for a long time. They're looking for a family. They just moved to the area. Oh, but they have an opening as, you know, a childcare worker, and they go through the steps to apply for that. Do you guys do anything like that, or what have you guys done to really help your volunteer culture?
I really think that the health of a church can be effectively measured by its volunteer engagement. That a healthy church will have about a 5-to-1 ratio of volunteer to attendance. And so this is something that we look at every week. We're talking about it, but very specifically and intentionally with our metrics. Every month we're talking about this, because it's a really good measure for us to see the actual engagement of the people. How are they engaging in the vision of Discovery Church through stepping out and being a part and contributing in that way? And here, the reality here that I think we need to know is, and pastors and leaders need to know, is that the majority of the people who attend your church, they love your church, they believe in the vision, they want to help expand your reach so that more people can know Jesus, but they may not know exactly what to do or how. Some of them may not even be ready for it, but it's in them, it's in people to support what they believe in, and it's up to us as leaders to help them do that. And what I've noticed is that sometimes leaders, they have an unhealthy perspective about serving opportunities. They see it as maybe a time withdrawal from them, or an energy withdrawal. The unhealthy perspective about volunteering comes from this mindset that I have to ask people to help. Can you help out? Can you help? Can you carry some of this weight? And at Discovery, we don't ask people to serve. We invite them to make a difference. There's a huge difference in that. That a healthy volunteer culture is more about mission than it is about task management. That your church culture is either attracting and making it easy for people to volunteer, or it's not. And that's the bottom line. It's either attracting and making it easy, or it's not doing it. So for us, we haven't gone as far as like Facebook, but what we've done, a few things. And for us, clarity is key, because again, people want to, I believe they're attending, they love it, they want to, but they don't know how. So clarity is key. So what kind of clarity? A clear vision that inspires people to make a difference. If you want to have that kind of a ratio, that 5-to-1 type of ratio, and you want to smash it, kill it, you need to have a vision at your church that actually connects people to their purpose. It needs to be a part of the vision of the church, ingrained in who we are. We help people make a difference, find their purpose, discover their calling, whatever it is. But it needs to be a clear vision that inspires people to make a difference, clear. And then not only a clear vision, but a clear pathway to volunteer involvement and development. So it's got to be clear. It's got to be easy. It's not like there's 10 different things that you can do to actually take a step. It's here's the one thing that you can do. You come to this and we will get you connected. You do this and you will. A clear pathway for people to volunteer is what is needed. They're sitting there in your church. They want to help. They're wondering how. Man, just light up the runway for them, Pastor, and they will land that plane wherever you light it up. they'll land it. So clear vision, clear pathway, and clear expectations for every role is we found very important, that there would be clarity of how do we win, right? And so every role, every position, every kind of job in ministry has a why and a win at Discovery. There is a why we do what we do. We remind people of the why, connect them to the vision, connect them to the why, and we also let them know how to win. This is what a touchdown looks like. No one on the football field, if you think about it this way, like we're a team and we're the first impressions team, the kids team, whatever. No one on that team, that football team, is wondering, well, I wonder how we win this game. I wonder, what are we going to do this time? You know, they all know that the goal is either to run, put the ball in that end zone. We're going to score a touchdown. And at the end of the game, we're going to look up at that scoreboard and we have more points than they have points than we've won. We need that level of clarity in every ministry and in every role. They need to know how to score. They need to know what the scoreboard is and like, what's the point system here? How do we know that we're winning, we're scoring? How do we know? So clarity we found is key to our volunteer engagement and volunteer culture.
One thing you've done really well, Jason, I've spoke at your volunteer event just a few weeks ago, and it was amazing. You guys got an amazing group there, and I spoke there for you at your volunteer kind of Saturday event. And one thing is, I think that you're also reaping the benefits, and I think everybody that's listening and watching this need to understand, when you get people in volunteering, a couple things happen that are benefits that you may not realize. They're almost invisible momentum. I always say there's visible momentum and there's invisible momentum. And this is an invisible momentum. I mean, you'll end up seeing it, but you just don't realize it. Number one, for every one person you get involved in serving, two people will join your church, because their level of engagement and involvement has gone up. So the more people you get involved, the more your church actually grows in numbers, because the people that are engaged, people tend to support what they create, so they'll get more involved. And I think that's an important part of it. Secondly is, we always joke around about closing the back door. There's no greater back door to close than getting people involved in ministry. People come for messages, but they stay for relationships. And inside of volunteering is where they find those relationships. So for anybody that's any senior pastor that's hearing Jason talk and just dropping all this gold about volunteerism, understand there's this momentum you're going to inherit. Number one is you're going to get more people attending your church, because people that get involved invite more, because they're now bragging about their church, and they will, at least for a short time, they'll invite more often. Secondly is, so you're not only going to grow in your attendance, but you're also going to grow in closing the back door, because they're going to come for the message. But let's get real. It doesn't matter if Jason's the greatest or lousiest preacher, or I'm the greatest or lousiest preacher. There's always a better one around the corner, and all you have to do is podcast them. So it sure in the heck isn't our phenomenal ability to communicate that's going to keep everybody. It is relationships, and the relationships are a result of the volunteerism. So it's an important part to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been a really big focus for us in just the season of ministry that we're in. I think the larger you grow, the easier it is to be disconnected from the culture of your church, especially volunteering. And so we're at a place where we're hiring more, and we need this staff member and this staff member. And what you need to be careful, what a lot of churches do, is they hire a position that take away volunteers. So you hire someone to do what the volunteers used to do, and where you grow, there may be higher levels of expectation that needs staff to complete, but you have to continue to engage volunteers. So what we've done now is including the job description of every staff member. The staff of the church, the main responsibility that they have is to recruit volunteers and to work the leadership pipeline. That is a primary responsibility of why you're here. You're not here to just do the work and do the ministry. You're here to help equip people to do ministry with you. And it's a huge, huge difference and a huge impact that it'll make in churches that are growing. When you hire people on, you make sure that they're not going to come and just rob people of ministry, that they need to know that they're coming on board, not just to do ministry and to be a minister, but they're going to help others, engage them, and even multiply themselves more to do ministry and multiply the ministry and people volunteering.
Yeah, absolutely. And going to be key also through that volunteering also, I think is just the key. You talked about hiring staff is in, if you're trying to create a volunteerism in your church, a couple things are really important is having the right leaders over those areas. I always tell the leaders of departments whenever I'm teaching, coaching, speaking, whatever, is how important it is that the leader over the ushers, the leader over the greeters, the leader over the children, that they're raising their bar, that they're getting higher in their leadership, they're getting stronger in their leadership. They're not just managing. And that's the big problem. Managing is just sending out, you know, your head usher, lead greeter, and you just send out some schedule for the month. Well, that's managing. That's not leading. But leading is, okay, I got a group of ushers. Now, how do I make them better? What podcasts could I send them once a month? How could I have a barbecue with them once every 4 months just to invest in them? That's totally different when you're leading versus managing, and the leadership has to go up, because some people always say, well, man, our volunteers are flaky and blah, blah, blah. And all you have to do is look at the leaders, because the level of leaders you have will always determine the level of volunteers you get. So if you have leaders that are on a scale from 1 to 10 or a 5, you got to understand that 7s don't follow 5s, 3 follows 5s. So in that sense, if you're a 5, you're going to get 3s. But if your leaders are 3s, your volunteers are going to be a 1 or 2. So inside of this volunteer culture, we can't miss the fact that the higher the level leader grows, the higher the volunteerism will grow and the quality of volunteerism will grow as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, yeah, Ross, thoughts, man? Don't be quiet over there.
Listen, I'm soaking this in. You guys, the volunteer thing is the highest level of engagement in a church. You know, you have somebody that's an attendee, but somebody who's serving, I mean, you're going to even have, like, if we believe what the Bible says about, you know, gifts in eternity, that's where we're giving without expecting anything in return. And so I think that's amazing. So let me ask you, Jason, there's a lot of people who are in a position where they have a church that's 1,000 people and some that have a church that's 150 people, but they don't have volunteering, serving, or momentum where they need it to be. You've got a 2-minute coaching session with that person. Talk directly to them. Like, what tips are you going to give them?
Oh, man. So I think coaching always starts with where they're at. I need to know, like, you know, where they're at, what they're doing, what they're not doing. You know, there's a lot of things that you know, that implies. But, you know, I go back to, you know, that making sure it's clear, making sure it's that they have a clear vision that's connecting them to serving, a clear pathway. You know, that they have clear expectations, that there's a lot of clarity there. And if they just, if leaders would just do that, you know, connect it to the vision, create that pathway, light up the runway, and create clear expectations, then they're going to see their volunteer engagement, you know, rise. And I think no matter what size of church you are, you need volunteers. It's not like, you know, oh, I need volunteers once I reach this size. It needs to be part of your culture right now, where they have a church of 50, you have a church of 75, or you have a church of 2,000. Volunteering and that engagement is going to be the healthiest thing, one of the healthiest thing for your church. And the churches that are like smashing the volunteer ratio, what they have done is they've opened up opportunities for people to serve at every level. So you don't just tell people they're important, you give them something important to do. I think one of the worst things travesties that some pastors do, we stand up here and we go, oh yeah, you're created for a purpose and all these things. And then we tell them to hand out a pin or something, which there's, and a good leader knows how to connect everything to the why and the vision, don't get me wrong, but the churches that are killing it in volunteer culture are engaging their volunteers at various aspects of ministry. They're getting them engaged. So craftsmen are helping with projects and stage redesigns and building kits projects, and creative volunteers are at the table with the production talking about the Sunday experience, and storytellers are capturing life change testimonies and volunteer highlights, and your administrative introverts are cutting bulletin inserts and stuffing bulletins, and they're just, we've created opportunity. We've widened the net. We've let everybody, no matter what their personality and their gifting is, to be able to contribute. Whether you are a CEO and you can sit at a table and add value at a think tank or at a strategic level or project management level, or whatever your gift and personality is, we have to open up, be creative, and open up opportunities for the church to engage in more than just the Sunday usuals.
Yeah. Are you guys, first off, are you guys denominational or are you non-denominational?
Yeah, we're an Assembly of God church.
Nice. Did you plant with some program or did you plant with ARC or just on your own or what?
We planted with CMN, the Church Multiplication Network.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's how we like to kind of wrap up a lot of these. I'm just going to ask you three questions, and you have to answer just whatever comes to your mind. Give us from the heart answer, okay? Number one, Dodgers or Giants?
Dodgers.
Amen, brother. You're my man. He's got this New York Knicks thing, or Yankees. We can't even remember who they are going on. Every other time he's got the Yankees hat on. We right forget here. All that.
Yankees. I love the Yankees. I got this bad habit. I like winning.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see you guys. I didn't World see you guys Series. In the World Series last year. I didn't know what you guys were doing.
We took a break.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Amen. You got the Ventura life going on down there now, huh?
Yeah, man. That's the reason why we planted it. No, I'm kidding.
Maui next, Cancun.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be strategic.
Okay, true statement. Disneyland, love it or hate it?
Love it. The most magical place on earth, bro.
Are you one of those guys?
Gosh. I am one of those guys, man.
Proud.
Hey, when I show up, I'm telling you, I show up at Disneyland, I walk through the gates, I tear up.
He's in. I tear up for different reasons.
I tear up because of what I just paid and because my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old are already wanting something else and I want to go home.
We can only hate Disneyland. It's a decade. Yes.
Gosh, man. Jason, we appreciate you. Thank you so much
for
what you're doing and for being on this. We appreciate you very much.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you.